He's one of the greatest in our sport, and I think he's the greatest that has ever held a tennis racket.
That's positive feedback from your opponent, Stefanos Tsitsipas, last night at Melbourne Park at Rod Laver Arena after he went down to Novak Djokovic 6-3, 7-6, 7-6, or 3-6, 6-7, 6-7. If you're talking from Stefanos' perspective, Joker's 10th Australian Open title. He owns that court. His 22nd Grand Slam tournament victory as well. And we've been having the discussion this morning about who is the best to hold a tennis racket in the men's brigade. According to our poll on RSN, the Dodger, Roger, is the best, 58.5% of the vote. Well, that can't be right, because Pat Rafter is 3-0 against Roger. A perfect record against Roger Federer. That can't be right. He joins us on the line, the Australian champ. Good morning, Pat.
It can be right. Perspective, I guess.
I don't know. If you've got him covered three times, I'm not sure he can take it.
I have the baby. He's 17 when I played him. This is not fair. You know, watching that match last night, no, he's amazing, Djokovic, and he's had a fair bit of longevity about him too. It looks like he's going to keep going like those other two guys, which is sort of unusual to have three freaks come through together like that. We saw a golden era of tennis, which, you know, be hard to replace.
What do you admire about his game the most, Pat?
The little things, you know, when you that poll, a lot of that, you know, the sentiment comes from, you know, how much you like the guy and how much passion you have, and Roger has that in spades, and that's why he was a people's champion here. But he looked so graceful. I mean, you watched Rafa play, and he was a brute strength and, you know, and commitment. It was pretty cool just to watch him play. And then Novak goes about his business, and he may not be the most likable, but he is, to me, the best player that I've ever seen. He does those little things well. He returns unbelievably well. He serves not overly big, but he hits every spot on the tennis court or in that service box. He's retrieving. When he gets pushed out wide, he makes you play the most impossible shot and makes the court look so small, which no other player has done like he has. And then he moves so well. And then the other biggest thing for me is he plays the big points very well, and that's a sign of a real champion. But to see what Novak does, it just astounds me every time I watch him play.
I was keen to talk to you about the big points and more so the tie-break situation. There was some good audio or some commentary from Jim Courier last night talking about the way that he just locks in. He locks down, I think was the term he used last night, when he gets to a tie-break. Some players go for it a bit more and try and get the edge, whereas Novak's happy to just stay steady and lock down and make you get past him or make a mistake. How difficult is that to do when you know that that is such a pivotal part of the game? Any tie-break is such a pivotal phase of the game.
Yeah, you don't want to be too defensive sometimes as well. But Novak's defence is also his attack, because you know you've got to try and beat him. It's a little bit like how Leighton used to do it as well. Novak just goes to that next level. And then you always talk about the big servers having the advantage when it comes to tiebreakers. But I don't know, if you're as good a returner as Novak, then it doesn't seem to matter. Tsitsipas played a really horrible first tiebreaker, that's for sure. He made five unforced errors. And it wasn't a pretty first tiebreaker, but you could see the lot of pressure that was both of them under, that if it went to set all, you know, you got game on. But two sets of love, it's all over. And then again, that's the pressure that Novak puts on. You can't afford to make little mistakes.
So the three freaks, which we've talked about through the morning, obviously coming through was unusual. The next gen is starting to emerge. I mean, Alcaraz was the number one player in the world until last night when Novak regained that role, wasn't here for us. Tsitsipas obviously is coming. Do you like what you're seeing from Stefanos and his type?
Yeah, Stefanos has been around for a few years now. I'd say four or five years. He's close. That Jannik Sinner, the Italian boy, is very good. Again, hasn't really found his game yet. He's a little bit off. And then you've got 10 Americans inside the top 50, and three or four of them are real contenders. And just watch out for how the Americans go as well. And they'll probably be the next contingency that looks like they'll dominate. So it is time. There's no doubt about it. But I reckon we've been saying this for 7 years. Now, when is the next generation coming? And it's been a bit slow. It's either they're a bit slow or these guys are so good, which is probably another very good argument, that they just don't allow anyone into the play the game. You know, they're just standouts.
So that's probably the next phase of the question. I mean, is Novak slowing down? I mean, he's 35 years of age. He's had a little niggle through the last couple of weeks, so we're led to believe at Melbourne Park, but he's still a dominant force. I mean, is he just that good, or is this next gen not quite at that level just yet?
I'd say a bit of both. I'd say we probably haven't seen talents like these guys as well, guys that can really push Novak. But I think Novak's still got a winning record against Rafa and Federer. You might have to do your research into that, but I'm pretty sure he's the only one with winning records against every player that is. It's another pretty good sign that he's going to go down as potentially the greatest.
How would you be going, being the coach of Novak? Goran Ivanišević, one of your old-time foes, was in the box copping a fair lashing from Novak through the journey. How would you go coaching him?
Now, I'm a bit of a fan of Novak. However, the scream in the box, you know, I just wouldn't tolerate that. I don't get it. You know, it's a generational thing that sort of started creeping in around our time. You could see it a few times. And I just cringe and watch anyone in those boxes who had to sit there and take it. There's no chance I'm going to do that. So I either just get up and walk out, which I probably should do, or you stay and fight. Some of the people want to do with it, but no tolerating that. And I find it pretty disrespectful.
Yeah.
But again, it's just the way they're letting off, and they can explain all that to you at the end of the day. But you've got to cop it at the time. I'm pretty sure I'm not prepared to do that.
Yeah, there was a nice hug at the end, but it was a bit tense through the match itself. Which funny enough.
Well, you know what? I actually quite like seeing Gorn get abused anyway.
Oh, well, that's right. So do we on behalf of you, just by the way.
Thank you, mate. Thank you.
I won't forget that night either. Don't worry about that. speaking of nights, one of the stories through the Australian Open was the period that it takes to play night matches and the finishing times. Did you ever find yourself playing at ridiculous o'clock at Melbourne Park?
No, not at Melbourne Park. I had a few late ones at the US Open.
How late's too late?
Well, here's the thing. All right, so let's say you put a curfew in for 1 a.m. and the players are, you know, or one player's dominating, he's 4-2 up in the fourth set and he's serving 2 sets to 1. He's not going to want to come off. But you've got to go and tell him, mate, time to get off. It's 1 o'clock. I don't know how that happens, or if it's 2 o'clock, that situation's going to happen. I mean, it's sort of part of the game in a way, but okay. I mean, I was in the room with Craig when he was Tyler, when they were talking about it, he said, listen, if you want me to put a curfew, then I'll put a curfew in. I'm not quite sure what you want, because I'm going to see winching from both sides. Even if I put it in, someone's going to accuse me or abuse me of putting a rule in place, and I don't want to get off right now. You know, I'm close. You know, it's the match finishing. So probably, you know, I don't know what the answer to that. I mean, the Leighton had that one, but with the Baghdad that year, I think it was 4 a.m. or something like that, same type of thing. It's really, really late, and you're probably going to ruin your tournament by the time it finishes. So you have the day session, you have the night session. And the night session starts sometimes, or a lot of times, it used to always start with the girls, and then the guys went on afterwards. So the girls want to play, but they don't want to play after men either. The women are only playing best of three. It probably would be easier if they finished later than the guys, because the time to recover for the guys is just not enough time.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Playing best of five sets. But then the girls don't want to go on at midnight if the guys have a 5-set match, 4-set match. It's a really tricky one. I don't know. Maybe, you know. But so let's say one of the matches goes one and love and the men's is over in a couple of sets, people then don't feel like they got their money's worth.
Yeah.
You know, that's the nature of tennis. You don't know if a match is going to go for an hour and a half or 5.5.
So Craig Tiley is in a position to sort that out from a management perspective. He's been doing a pretty good job for all these years.
Leave it to him. Horrible conversation to have.
Hey, Pat, any conversation with you about tennis is great. We appreciate your time. Thanks for your assessment this morning.
Good on you guys. Thanks, mate.
Pat Rafter, Australian tennis, great with us.